The following program is a JWC Media production for Game Show Newsnet and CLW83.com.
Jason Block here on the CLW83 Network, and I am here for WLTI Live Extra, and this is actually one of the most nerve-wracking interviews I have booked, because not only is this person pretty famous on the other side of the world in the United Kingdom, but she is a very, 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 very scary woman. She is known by many names. She is known as the Governess. She is known by, and I hate to say this, the Ice Queen. She is also known as Ms. Frosty Knickers. But all our U.S. and U.K. game show fans will know her as the sole female member of the four chasers in the United Kingdom. It is an honor and a privilege to welcome to the airwaves Miss Anne Hegarty. How are you?
I'm absolutely fine. I'm delighted to be talking to you. I promise I'm really not scary.
All right. Well, we'll see how that goes over the next few minutes. But again, thank you very time. You're right now, I believe, recording another series of episodes, right?
That's right, yes. We're down here in London. In fact, a little way north of London in Elstree. We're actually recording at the BBC studios, even though we're actually the other side. We're ITV.
ITV, yes, exactly. So let me go back, if I may, just a little way further back to a young Anne Hegarty, you know, 20 years ago, as we could say. What were you like as a young child? Were you always into education? What was your...
Yes, I mean, I was a very nerdy child, and I loved reading. My grandfather was actually a publisher, and it meant that our house, my mother owned enormous numbers of books that her father had given her. So it was a house full of books, and I actually used to climb up the bookcase to get the books on the top shelves.
What were your favorite books as a child?
Well, when I was about... my favorite books were, let me think... I love quite a lot of American books. I enjoyed Elizabeth Enright.
Okay.
And Madeleine L'Engle, A Wrinkle in Time.
That was a book that a friend of mine said that was the one that got her into reading.
Yes. Yeah. I only found out quite recently there were three sequels to it, which I knew nothing about, because, of course, we didn't get a lot of information about American books over here.
Hmm.
All sorts of things. I used to, when I was about 8 years old, I discovered that I could memorize things. And I quite enjoyed seeing how much I could memorize. And I used to climb up the bookcase and get the big copy of Shakespeare and memorize Shakespeare's speeches.
Ah.
Just out of interest, just to see if I could do it. And sort of learned a lot of Shakespeare that way.
And did you have a favorite Shakespeare play back then, and has it changed?
No, I didn't really. I was just simply, I would just simply go through the book and just sort of look for long speeches that I thought I could memorize. I mean, I can probably only remember two of them off by heart now. I used to know 20 of them.
That's
so, I didn't
So what?
I didn't understand what I was reading, but it was. I just enjoyed being competitive with myself and seeing what I could do.
Now, do you think that memorization technique, or at least that challenge, was sort of your first foray into eventually becoming a trivia expert?
I don't know. I didn't really use any technique. I just used to read the speeches over and over again until I'd gradually got them by heart. I don't remember a lot of quiz shows on TV when I was a child. There was one called Top of the Form, mm-hmm. which was school teams on television. And there was another one called Ask the Family, which was family teams doing quizzing. I always wanted to go on that, and my mother absolutely refused to do it.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I was always sort of interested in reading and finding stuff out, as opposed to actual quizzing, which I sort of, you know, didn't really, certainly as a child, I didn't really know about.
Right. So when did you start to get the love of saying, you know what, I could go on these shows and do well? And because you've done a few.
Well, I have. In the late 1980s, I went on Mastermind, which is a sort of very prestigious show in the UK. It's on an individual basis. You do two rounds of 2 minutes each. The first round is a specialist subject,
right?
Which you choose for yourself. And then the second round is general knowledge. I actually lost in the first round, so I've never been very good at Mastermind. But there is a club that you can join called the Mastermind Club.
Right.
I joined that, so I've been sort of hanging out with quizzers for the last 25 years or so, but not really doing anything very serious until about 5 years ago, when one of the members of the local Mastermind Club brought along a friend to one of our meetings who wasn't a Mastermind Club member, but she told me about the national quizzing circuit, which I had no idea up until then existed.
Now you're talking about, is this sort of like the pub quiz sort of deal, or is this something different?
No, this is much more high level than
pub. Okay.
Right. Really quite difficult. I went along to my first one because it was only about 30 miles from my home. And it's a written quiz. It lasts for about an hour and a half, and you just sit there doing it in silence. So essentially, it's like doing an exam. And I sat there and I opened the paper and looked at the questions and I thought, whoa, I am so far out of my league. I am going to make such an idiot of myself here. So I just took a deep breath and just tackled what I could and just sort of, read the questions really carefully and found little ways into them and ended up not doing too badly. And also the other thing that was happening at that particular event, they were auditioning for a show that was coming up called Are You an Egghead? Now, we have a show here called Eggheads on BBC Two. It's a team of very experienced, very famous quizzers going up against sort of ordinary pub quiz teams who try to see if they can beat the eggheads. And they wanted to add another egghead to the team. So they were auditioning for this, and I went to the audition and got on. And I only had 10 days' notice that I was going to be on this, so I thought, right, I really better sort of up my game as fast as I can. So I just remember sort of reading desperately and trying to master the sorts of things I thought quizzers would know, and also having to go out and buy some new shirts. Because I didn't really have anything suitable to wear on telly. Then I went on this. And to my amazement, I assumed I would go out in the first round. In fact, I made it to the semi-final. Very, very nearly made it to the final. So it is technically true to say I came third. And the two people who beat me were exceptionally good quizzers. So that kind of put me on the map.
And then... Eventually, you became a chaser.
Well, that's right. A couple of weeks after I'd filmed Are You an Egghead? You see, the thing is about the National Quizzing Circuit, even though the show didn't go out until November, the people who run the circuit knew what had happened, and they knew that this woman who'd come out of nowhere had done extraordinarily well on Are You an Egghead? So a couple of weeks later, I went along to the World Championships and took part in those, did pretty well, ended up as the second highest scoring woman in the world.
very nice, by the way.
And then we went into lunch, and as I stepped inside the bar, I was hailed by what I can only describe as the largest man I'd ever seen in my life. And he said, "Hi, my name is Mark Labette."
No kidding!
You just beat me, and I have no idea who you are, except I know that you've just been on Are You an Egghead and done really well on that. So, who are you? And we chatted a bit. And he said, "I've just recorded the pilot of a show called The Chase. It's just 10 episodes, but you should watch it because it's going to be on in about a month or so. And you should watch it because it's going to be really good." So I thought, okay, made a note of that. And then, yeah, about a month later, they showed these 10 episodes, which were, it was just Mark and Sean.
Right, right.
Wallace.
Right.
Only the two chasers. I watched the 10 episodes and thought, yeah, I like this. This is good. And I actually remember thinking to myself, wow, wouldn't it be cool to be a chaser? What a cool job that would be. Let's sit down and have a little fantasize about how cool it would be without sort of actually thinking I will go after this job. I just sort of sat there thinking, yeah, how amazingly cool it would be. Right, well, you know, back to the everyday grind, get on with proofreading academic books. And then a month after that,
Hello?
Yes, I watched the show about a month later because he said to me, "You should watch this, it's going to be really good." And this was just the pilot series, just 10 episodes with him and Sean Wallace. And I remember watching and thinking, wow, how cool it would be to be a chaser. Wouldn't that be cool? Just sort of thinking, you know, let's have a little fantasize about having this really cool job. And then let's get back to my actual day job, which was proofreading academic books. And just sort of simply thinking, wow, that would be cool. And then the following month, I went to another of these big national quizzes, and the woman who runs the quiz circuit said to me, "Did you watch that show, The Chase?" And I said, "Yes, I did." And she said, "What do you think about being a chaser?" And I said, "Yeah, that'd be good." And she said, well, "I will put your name forward to the producers." So this was July. It wasn't until autumn that they decided to pick it up for a full series. So
and
I read
was
in the paper.
This was in 2010, 2009?
No, 2009.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
2009. And apparently they had been looking for a female chaser before they made the first pilot series. But because I wasn't playing on the quiz circuit, they didn't know about me. All the other people they tried, you know, thought, no, this is not quite the person that we're looking for. And then I came along. And when it got picked up, I contacted this woman again and said, "Can you put me in touch with the producers?" So she gave me an email address, and I wrote to them. And they got straight back to me saying, yes, we want to see you. We'd love to see you. And I went and did a few auditions. I've been told since they pretty much decided that they wanted me virtually the first time they saw me. In fact, I think they pretty much decided they wanted me as soon as the email came across their desk.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. Not for nothing.
It is. It's just extraordinary. If this woman hadn't come to the meeting of the Mastermind Club, I would never have known about the quiz circuit. I would never have gone to this thing where they were having the auditions. So every time I meet her, I say to her, "This is all your fault, you know."
Well, I mean, talking about that, I mean, do you feel any extra pressure being I don't want to necessarily talk about it in, you know, set gender lines, but yeah. you are the only female chaser, and it is a lot rarer to see a competent female quizzer in a public forum. And that's no disrespect.
It is.
And that's no disrespect to anybody else, but.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking what you feel.
I don't feel that I'm sort of, you know, carrying the flag for all women or anything like that, because frankly, you know, if women want to, there's nothing stopping women from quizzing, except they just don't want to. You know, if it would be nice if I had perhaps encouraged more women to think that they could, but I don't really think of it in gender terms, given that, I actually sort of quite like being the only female chaser. I think one gets, I don't know that there is more pressure. If anything, I think people sort of, people make excuses for women. I mean, this is going to be a little controversial, but, you know, people, I got the job because I'm female. I mean, okay, yes, I got the job because I'm a good quizzer, but there are lots of people who are better quizzers than me, and I can think of several people who are not only better quizzers than me, but have, you know, entertaining personalities that could work on the chase, but I got the job because I've got all those things, and I'm female. So, yeah, I actually feel pretty lucky. I wouldn't have this job if I was male.
You know what? That is a brutal honesty that not many people would say, and I appreciate that very much. Now,
okay.
So, I want you to sort of kind of dish with me a little bit. I want you to tell me a little bit. First of all, Bradley Walsh, very you know, the host of the UK Chase, and a lot of Americans know him from Law & Order UK.
Yes,
and
so they should, because he's brilliant in that.
Yes, and believe me, I have both DVD sets of it that I believe are here in the United States. What is everybody? I want you to dish about everybody else, of course, like Mark, Paul, Sean, Bradley, the whole nine yards.
Brad is absolutely brilliant. I mean, what you see is what you get. He's just tremendously professional. He's very, very nice. He's just always been tremendously supportive with these sort of three originally, pretty much amateurs. I mean, we were people who were not used to being on TV, and he was there for all the rehearsals. I mean, the whole, one of my best known nicknames actually came out of rehearsals from something that Bradley and I sort of riffed off. One of the guy playing the contestant, Bradley, said to him at one point, "She's cold, this one. We call her Frosty Knickers." And I looked at the contestant and said, "He knows nothing about my knickers." And Bradley cracked up and said, "That's a YouTube moment." So we thought, let's keep that in. Let's play with that. And we did the same gag on the actual show. And then he just sort of gradually started using the name more and more. And I've known some people say to me, "Well, you know, it's very rude and insulting." And I'm saying, no. We did this. Bradley and I, you know, we ran with this. I could easily not have, but I thought it was funny. And he's just always been very kind to us. About 2.5 years ago, I did my first ever talk to a ladies' club about, you know, what it was like to be a chaser and how I got the job. And it's the first one I'd ever done. And quite unexpectedly, Brad actually turned up and did the introduction for me. And it was just really nice and kind of him. It turned out that he knew the people who were running the ladies' club, and he'd agreed to do this. But I just sort of felt it was nice, you know, to see a familiar face. So I know there are people, I've seen people on the net saying, "Oh, I don't watch The Chase because it's got this awful chavvy presenter." I don't know if you know the word chav. But it means... Sorry?
It means sort of rude, brusque, sort of?
What it really means is sort of very common and low class. And the thing is, it's completely inappropriate about Brad, who has had a college education, he's worked hard all his life, he's a devoted family man, all things that chavs are not. But there are people who are so prejudiced that they will not watch The Chase because it's presented by a man with a working class accent.
Okay, so let's move on to the next one. The Sinner Man, Paul Sinha. Talk about him.
Yeah, Paul was a later addition. He joined the show in, let me think, around about April 2011, I think. Mark and I were both pitching for him to get the job, saying, look, the thing about Paul is he is a seasoned performer because he is a stand-up comedian as well. So we were saying he knows how to, he will not panic, he knows how to work in front of an audience, and he, you know, he will create a persona. And the closer we were getting to filming, the more Mark and I were saying, it's got to be Paul, it's got to be Paul. So fortunately, you know, they saw sense and they did take him on. And Paul is brilliant. He's got this very analytical mind, so he sort of really concentrates on the kinds of questions that they are. And we've actually learned quite a lot from him. He was the person who pointed out that there is a pattern to the final chase that we hadn't noticed, that they have four levels of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, they've actually gone and changed that. I think they worried that we were too aware of it. But we had not noticed this pattern until Paul pointed it out.
Okay, the next one, Mr. Wallace, Sean Wallace.
Oh, Sean is just absolutely lovely. He's got the sweetest nature of any of us. I mean, he is the least bitchy of any of us. The rest of us are so rude and bitching about people all the time. And Sean is the really, really nice one. I mean, off stage, obviously. On screen, his persona is sort of mean and moody. But he's absolutely lovely. The reason that I couldn't take this call earlier was that I went back into the studio to watch him do his final chase, because he says I'm his good luck charm. He plays better.
Oh, that's incredible. that's incredibly nice. And we'll get to that in a second. But of course, I leave the beast for last, so to speak. because of course, Mark Labette is the only cross-continent chaser. He is, of course, here, and I've had the pleasure of meeting him at a bar quiz here in New York. But mm-hmm. he was the one who brought you in. But what's he really like?
He really is very much what you see on screen. I mean, Mark always said that the chaser personality should be yourself with the volume turned up. So that you should be... The chaser is the person who says all the things that you're thinking. He comes right out and says them.
Mm-hmm.
He is very much that kind of person. He's loud. He talks a lot. He talks enormously whenever he's lost a final chase. And I know because I tend to be the person he talks to. Sometimes he just kind of has to talk and talk and talk until he's got it all off his chest.
Because it's very interesting because, of course, here in the United States, of course, he is a minor game show celebrity because mm-hmm. of all the stuff. But I want to go back in a way to a couple of things, because did you realize how much of an American fan base your UK show had?
I didn't really. It wasn't until nearly 2 years ago now, Mark told me that Fox had decided to make a couple of pilots. These are the pilots that in the end didn't get picked up.
Correct, yes.
But a whole bunch of contestants were flown over here, including people that I've got to know really well subsequently, like Tony Hightower.
Right. He's a friend of mine. Who's a friend of mine? Well, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the first I knew that they were talking about doing an American version. And for that version, they had Mark as one of the chasers and Brad Rutter as the other one.
Right. He's a Jeopardy superstar here in the United
States. That's right, he is, yes. And also a very nice guy. That really was the first time I was aware that the Americans were aware of it. And it hadn't really occurred to me that, of course, you know, there is YouTube, for example, and Americans can actually watch. And I'm sure that there are, I don't really understand very much about actual broadcasting, but I'm sure there are other ways that Americans can see the British show. And, up until then, no, I hadn't understood that Americans were seeing it. But it was very exciting because I'm a tremendous fan of America. I have a huge crush on the entire country. I love the idea that their taste is that good, obviously.
Yes. Now the way I sort of discovered you, and we have a sort of a little show here that we do, not talking, our network does, called WLTI for Game Show Newsnet, which is one of the fan sites. And a friend of mine named Gordon Pepper discovered you as the evil queen in Panto, okay? And of course, Sean Wallace and everybody in Panto for the Christmas thing. And I looked at this and I watched this and I was hooked. How long were you in makeup for things like that? And is there anything you would like to do in Panto for 2014? Because you've done two of them so far, I think.
What these are actually part of a single day. In fact, it's really a single evening just before Christmas that ITV does to raise money for charity. It's for children's charities, and it's an evening called Text Santa. And you text in and pledge money. So people sort of, try to do special versions of their shows to be part of this Tech Santa thing. And that was the one that we did for Tech Santa 2012. That was the first one we did. And then they decided to do it again last year. And in fact, we've been asked, could we start thinking now about who we want to be for the next one?
So are you going to break some? So are you going to break some news here of who you're going to be?
I don't actually know who I'm not actually sure. I know that we have to think about logistics, because for one thing, what they wanted Mark to do last year was to be a plum pudding. And Mark had to point out, if I am walking down that walkway dressed as a plum pudding, I physically can't get to the chair. There will not be room to get the plum pudding outfit round into the chair. So you're going to have to think of something else. So there are, if we wanted to be sort of like a Christmas tree or something, there would be they might have to sort of build a ramp so we can kind of get into the chair, just walk up the ramp and drop into the chair or something like that. I don't seriously think they will do that. I honestly don't know. I mean, I may end up being a walking candy cane or something. I like to hope I won't.
I'm envisioning you in this candy cane outfit. It's the funniest thing. But seriously, so we all know that you don't do the chase every session. There's a rotating.
That's right.
So how you guys picked? What's a tape day like?
We film three shows a day.
Right.
So one of us has always got the day off, and we get told a few weeks in advance which of us is going to be doing which show which day. So we know that. I mean, they have to decide that because the makeup women have to know who to expect.
Right.
I take a lot longer in the morning than the boys do. Mostly it's curling my hair. Because, I mean, it is naturally curly, but they need to sort of, make it into that kind of helmet. And that takes time. So they need to know who they've got to deal with. Wardrobe has got to know whose costume to bring up. Because, of course, a lot of people don't seem to realize this, but those are all costumes. Those are not our own clothes. Even Bradley isn't wearing his own clothes.
Oh, wow. Okay. So the governess is a character in a way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would never in a million years have chosen that suit. I am proud to say I do not own that suit. I do not own anything that looks like that suit.
No, not exactly. Gotta ask, have you actually watched any of the U.S. version of The Chase?
I've watched little snippets. I haven't really sat down and concentrated on watching one all the way through. But, I mean, I've heard so much about it, I know so much about it, that I feel I'm sort of fairly well up on it.
Yeah, exactly. So I have to ask, and do you want to be the second U.S. chaser? Would you like to be there?
Jason, I would love to be. I would eat babies in order to be. But the thing is, although I would absolutely love to be, and if I was asked to be, I would do it in a heartbeat. Having said that, I actually believe, I've told one of the American executive producers this, I believe they shouldn't ask me, because I don't really think I would fit into it. I think that the way that it's been done, the whole vibe that they've got going on of sort of Brooke and the Beast, Beauty and the Beast,
right.
I think that just works so well that I don't see how I could fit in. I think I would just ruin it.
You know, you are just disappointed about a ton of game show fans by saying that, because, put it this way, there is a loyal community over here, especially, you know, being in the social media.
Oh, yeah.
That we love, you know, that you would be the number one choice, as far as I know, to be the second one. But I understand your logic in this.
I would love it. I mean, I'm not remotely reluctant to do it. I would do it in a heartbeat. I am just concerned that it actually could spoil the show. And I do not want to be the person that ended up ruining the American Chase.
Mm.
I just honestly can't quite see how I could fit in and what sort of relationship I could have with Brooke.
I understand completely how you think about that. I think that's very, very smart in a way. But now, just a couple more final questions. Do you actually... Well, all right, why do you think British game shows in general, why do you think Americans love a lot of the British game shows so much, per se?
I'm not really sure, because, I mean, you have so many excellent game shows yourselves. And I think it's odd that more of your game shows haven't really made it over here. We've made several attempts to do a British version of Jeopardy. I think we've tried it about 3 times, and somehow we've never quite been able to make it work. So, obviously Jeopardy is this brilliant show, and I'm not sure quite why we can't do it. Why do Americans love British game shows? I don't know. I mean, I think Americans in some ways are too hard on themselves. They think, you know, that the British are cleverer than them, that the British are more highbrow and so forth. And I've quizzed in America, and Americans are terrifyingly good at quizzing. But I think perhaps people like the idea, you know, of these very clever, highbrow British quizzes, and they love listening to British accents.
Well,
I think the Americans do themselves down. They've got so many excellent game shows of their own.
Well, thank you very well. I'll ask you that, because you know everyone here. You know, there's a lot of people who love shows like Countdown, 15-1, you know, other, you know, Pointless, for example. You know, is very big over here. So what shows do you like from over here? What American shows besides Jeopardy do you like?
I haven't really had a chance to see much of them. When I was at the Trivia Championships of North America last August, one thing that they were doing was doing sort of staged versions of American shows. So I got to see things like The Joker's Wild and $25,000 Pyramid, and even take part in them. I would certainly I'm looking forward when I come back to the States in August.
Oh, so you're coming back? You're coming back to the Trivia Championships?
Absolutely. Oh, I booked it before I even left Las Vegas last
August.
Outstanding!
Great.
A good time.
Great.
So I thought I absolutely can't wait. And I'm going to stay a little bit longer. I'm going to go to LA for a few days, just to look around, and because there are people there who said, you know, come to LA and we'll buy you a drink.
So, well, come to New York. Come to New York. There are a ton of New York quizzers who would buy you a drink.
I would love to, but the thing is that there's this brilliant flight twice a week. There's a flight directly from Manchester in the north of England where I live to Las Vegas, nonstop. and it's just such a wonderful deal. And on the way back, it's a night flight, and you can sleep. So the thing is about sort of skipping back and forth. I have looked at the possibility of stopping off in New York, and I can't quite see how I would make that work.
But if you ever are, definitely we will have either a cup of tea or at least some beer or whatever drink you would like, definitely.
Absolutely.
But one last thing. Where can we find, do you have an online presence, like either a Twitter handle or a web page or anything like that?
No, these are things I'm definitely thinking about doing. There are people on Twitter who are pretending to be me, so I've really got to nip that in the bud. So I'm definitely thinking of getting on Twitter. It's just, I don't know, I suppose people, it's just kind of hard to, I quite like quite a lot of peace and quiet, and I'm just concerned that with Twitter it's sort of rather in your face all the time. Yeah. And I am definitely thinking about having a website. Paul has got a friend who designs websites, and I've got his card, and I'm certainly thinking about that.
Well, I will definitely plug your UK show, which is itv.com/thechase, one word.
That's right.
And for those in the UK, it is on, I believe, weekdays, 5 p.m. local time on ITV.
That's right.
So I will.
Yeah,
definitely,
ITV, yes.
Yes, and Ms. Haggerty, I've survived this, but I really do appreciate your time for this, and thank you so much for in your busy schedule giving me about a half hour of your time.
That's okay. I enjoyed it. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you very much. You have a nice day. This has been.
Thank you. Same to you.
Bye bye.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.